Father God, we bless and worship your holy name. We say glory, honor, and praise belongs to you. There is none as holy as the Lord. There is none besides thee. There is no other rock like our God. Speak to us, O God. May none of us live the same. We pray for your Holy Spirit to carry your word into each and every heart and mind in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. We may take our seats. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that was a nice testimony, powerful testimony. Hallelujah. And yes, you can put your hands together for the Lord. And I think another thing Sister Antoinette forgot to add was that the teachers are wondering what to do because he knows everything. He knows all the answers.
Right.
But before the teacher finishes asking, he has the answer. Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
Oh, I think we can put our hands together because it's only the Lord who deserves the glory. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. How many are excited about our convention, our Easter convention?
Yes.
Or how many don't know that there's an Easter convention? Okay. We have an Easter convention. The date is now the 30th. So we have the Easter convention on the 30th, 31st. And the 1st
Amen.
Of April. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Good Friday starts our convention, the first day of our convention. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then Saturday is the second day of our convention. And then Sunday, the 1st of April, is the third day of our convention. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And this is our Easter convention. Amen.
Amen.
Where we are going to, of course, this will start 7 p.m. Friday night, 7 p.m. Saturday night, and usual church time on 10:30 on Sunday morning, remembering that we have the school, the lay school 10:10 on Sunday morning. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And invite friends. Hallelujah. It's also going to be live. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God is going to bless us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is going to do great things in our midst. Hallelujah. And there are going to be many testimonies and fantastic things as a result
Yes.
of the convention.
Amen.
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 I thought we can put our hands together for Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So we're going to continue with strategies for prayer. How many have started using some of the strategies?
Amen.
Good, good. But only a few, unfortunately. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But nevertheless, better one than none or two. What's the first principle? We talked about principles, hallelujah, of strategies for prayer. And we said a lot. Now, what is the first strategy for prayer? Prayer is very important. It's a strategy. Knowing that something is very important will put a value to it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you know that prayer is very important, you make prayer a priority. And that itself is a strategy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number two, no one is ever too busy, too blessed, or too successful to pray.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Some people feel that they are too busy for God to use them. I'm talking about maybe you've gotten a job that is requiring your time. And then you see, because I have a job that is requiring my time, can't you see that I'm a big person at work? Can't you see that I'm promoted at work? Can't you see that I'm very important at work? Because of that, I don't have time to pray. God should understand because I'm important. People have that thought. Or those thoughts.
That's
Amen.
True.
Number three, prayer is the source of our power and protection.
Amen.
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 Prayer is the source of your power, my power, and protection.
Amen.
You realize that Daniel went into the den of lions. There was a den and there were lions in it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the lions, someone might say that, oh, maybe the lions were. Can someone push this a bit further so that I can be free to move around? One of the ashes, maybe just push this. Yes. Yeah, so someone might say that but the lions were full. They were very, very full. So they didn't need, they were not ready to eat Daniel because they were full. That's not the case. Because when Daniel was released, all his accusers were thrown into the den of lions. And before they touched the ground, the lions had their meal.
Amen.
So it shows that the lions were hungry, but because Daniel prayed three times a day and Daniel trusted in God and God did not find anything but innocency in him, God delivered him. The Bible says that God sent his angels to shut the mouths of the lions.
Amen.
Imagine. So their mouths were closed and they were just like puppies. I see God shutting the lion's mouth.
Amen.
Or the so-called lion's mouth. Who is trying to fight us? Because there's only one lion, and there are so-called lions. One lion, who is the lion? The lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. And who is he?
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Number four, prayer is important in acquiring and sustaining the blessings of God. Amen. So, I think we were here. Is that right? We said some things about this. Now, prayer is important in acquiring and sustaining the blessings of God. Amen. Realize that it is God who gives us the ability to obtain wealth.
Amen.
Okay, now let's move on to the next thing. For prayer to be effective, it must be habitual. Hallelujah. Yeah, we talked about this also, that it takes how many days? About 3 weeks or about 66 days to form a habit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why when maybe you are having a marital situation and the man is complaining about certain things which are justified, or the woman is complaining about certain things that are justified, or both are complaining about justifiable things, important, meaning that they both have a case.
Yes,
and they are encouraged to do the right thing. What happens is that it's made clear that a habit that has caused the person to do certain things that you don't like, for it to be reversed, it will take time. Hallelujah.
Right.
Because they need to keep doing it for about 3 weeks to 66 days for it to stick. So the fact that the person has promised that, okay, from today, I'm not going to say things like this. Or from today, I'm not going to, suck my teeth. I'm not going to do that. Or whatever it is, they might slip because they formed those habits for over a long period of time. So we can't just have a counseling session and then all of a sudden you stop like that. Okay, I did it better. I think it was good. You understand? So I always encourage the people that they will slip, but when they slip, just remind them and don't take it personally, because it's a habit. In the same way, if you and I were people who did not pray much, you and I need to form the habit of praying by continually praying. We will sleep one day, not a problem. Go back and continue to pray and make it a habit.
Amen.
When it's a habit, it will be automatic. When you wake up in the morning, if it's you are a morning person, when you wake up in the morning, it will be automatic to pray. When you wake up in the morning, before you go to work or school, we brush our teeth.
That's right.
That's automatic. People can even go to work without bathing. Which most likely it will reflect somehow if they don't do things well. But you can't go to work without brushing your teeth, because that one will be a big problem. So we all know it. Am I preaching to somebody? In the same way, because it is a habit and it is expected of you, of your soul, to brush your teeth, it will be also expected of your soul to pray. Because when you wake up in the morning, you know that the first thing you need to do is to pray.
That's right.
Am I saying something to someone? Right. So for prayer to be effective, it must be habitual. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And every great person in this life has been great, or was great because, or is great because they formed good habits. Amen. A good habit will lead to consistent breakthroughs, even without intending for that. It will be automatic when you have good habits. Because that are some of the good habits. Waking up in the morning early, praying. Another habit is paying your tithe. Another habit is doing good. Another habit is having being a hardworking person. I mean, it goes on and on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So certain habits help you. Some people, when they wake up, they don't eat until they've prayed. Don't you? Do you eat and then brush your teeth in the morning? In general, sometimes, and that you can argue it out. But most people brush their teeth because maybe they are eating on their way out.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
What do you think? It's a good habit to always bring offerings to church, to give our children offerings to bring to church. Amen.
Amen.
And to reward people who give and who do something for God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How many remember the story of my daughter?
Yeah.
The reward she was given. Yeah, I was shocked. We had, I think Christmas season, we had the fundraising for the orphanage. And she had her, she was given a gift by her grandmother. Was that it? Yeah. And she took $100 from that to put in the orphanage. As soon as I heard it, I said, no, this cannot go unrewarded. So I gave, how much did I give you? I gave her the 100 back. And, oh, that's all. Okay. Okay, that's good. I thought I gave her the 100 and rewarded her after. I gave her 2. No, but you were supposed to remind me of it. Okay, so I gave her 200. The 100 is just, the other 100 is deferred, is pending. So it's up to you to accept it. So far as I'm concerned, I gave you $200. So I gave her back the 100 and rewarded her extra.
That's it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Plus, the real reward is going to come from God.
That's
so
right.
She got a reward on earth also for that.
Amen.
So you and I must try to reward people for good habits.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Number 6, prayer must continue both in troubled times and in times of peace.
Amen.
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 Pray when things are going well, so that God knows that you are not a situational friend, but you are committed to Him in good times and in bad times. We have different levels of commitment to God or to each other. To your spouse, to your parents, to your beloved, to your church, to your friends, to your pastor, to your parents, whatever. There are different levels of commitment. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God tests them. And different people test their commitment. I also test it from time to time with the children. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whether they are committed to me or not.
Hallelujah. Amen.
But God tests our commitment. Now, what is the lowest level of commitment? It's situational friendship, no, fair weather commitment.
That's right.
And fair weather means that so long as things are going well, I'll be committed. I'll be committed if the church is next door. Then, there's no commitment involved.
Yeah.
Very, very low level of commitment. I am with this, I have a beloved in quotes, so long as I can satisfy my needs and there is no commitment.
Yes, help me finish my course.
Help me finish my course or help me satisfy my urges. Those are the friends with benefits, convenience. Hallelujah. And then we have situational friendship commitment. The church is 5 minutes away from home. When the church moves 15 minutes away from home, I'm not, that's the end. Because it depends on the situation. We have friends from high school we were committed to so long as we're in high school. As soon as high school was over, that was the end of the friendship. Situational friendship commitment. Also with God, so far as things are going okay, I'm committed to Him. Or I'm committed to prayer. But when things change, the commitment is over. And we have non-situational friendship commitment, which is the lowest level acceptable. Non-situational means that whether things are going well or things are not going well, whether I'm in hard times, whether I'm in good times, I'm committed.
Amen.
I'm praying to God whether or not I have the time to pray.
Amen.
I'm praying to God whether or not I have my job.
Amen.
I'm praying to God whether or not I've passed my exam.
That's right.
I'm praying to God whether or not I have a beef Sometimes when people are married and there's a beef, the husband has a beef with the wife, or most of the time, well, one party does it more. When the other has a beef with the other, then you realize that they don't want to come to church to punish the committed spouse. Do you understand?
Yeah.
My spouse, maybe my spouse, it's easier for me to use this example. Maybe my spouse, she's angry with me. And she knows that I'm very committed to church. So she won't come to punish me. And vice versa. That is not what we are talking about. We are talking about non-situational. No matter how angry you are, no matter the situation, you are committed to it. God wants us to be maritally committed, which is the highest level. Highest level of commitment. When you are maritally committed to God, you are so committed that you pray no matter what, even if it costs you your sleep. If no matter the cost, you are going to continue to pray. That's what Daniel did. Daniel prayed even though it was going to cost him his life. But you and I sleep. Many of us, even sleep, will not pray because of sleep. Whilst another person, it was life. Life and death situation, they made sure they prayed. In spite of that. But when you are tired and you need to just sit up, and maybe walk around to pray. Many people don't pray. But from today, it's changed.
Amen.
I said from today, it's changed.
Amen.
We are going to be committed. Also, even when it comes to church, let's be committed to this church.
Amen.
Let's be committed to the church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No matter the situation, hard times, difficult times, bad times. Even when I'm sick, there are times that I've come and I don't get sick by faith. But nevertheless, there was a terrible pain here. But I'll come. And I'll preach smiling as if there's no pain. But just inside, you know there is pain.
Right.
And you confess that you are healed. No, in good times, in bad times, it doesn't matter. There was a time that I had a very high flu fever. I've had flu by the grace of God since I've been here for maybe twice. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Never taking the flu shot. I don't intend to. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And I remember having the flu once, and I came to church to preach. The fever was very high. Very high. The person who was, and they gave me some medication. I can't remember. Something flu. Tamiflu. Tamiflu. Very, very high fever. And I was shaking before I preached, and I didn't want to infect anybody. So as soon as I finished preaching, whilst they were doing the announcements, I dashed home. But I did my duty. In spite of the flu. There are times that I'm busy at a place I don't want to be in at a certain time at work. I would leave and come on a weekday service to preach. And then go back home because there's a deadline. Sometimes sleep at 4 a.m. to finish it. Because I'm committed.
That's right.
It's not happening once, twice. Many at the time. So many is the time.
That's right.
And I'm using myself as an example. I'm sure some people can use themselves as the examples when they have the mic.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Many times. Sometimes the deadline, and I know that there'll be major issues. When I say major issues, there will be a fall where I'll be blamed if I don't finish. That's why I was sleeping. I'll leave church and finish, come back and work till 4 a.m.
Right.
Because I'm trying to be maritally committed.
That's right.
What about you? Because God wants us to be committed to Him.
Amen.
And the Bible says that then He would also be committed to us. But I like the verse which says that even if we are not committed, He is still faithful and committed.
Amen.
But we can't abuse that.
Amen.
Are you going to be committed to prayer?
Yes.
In good times.
Yes.
And in bad times?
Yes.
Some people, when things are going well, they don't need to pray because they know that things are okay. Why should I pray? I'm only praying because God is a parachute. I need Him whenever. I only pray, or the parachute button.
Yes.
I only emergency button. So I only pray when there's an emergency. I know who to call on. I remember I wanted to do a prison because of that verse in Matthew 25. I wanted to visit the prisoners because Jesus said I was in prison and you did not visit me. So I wanted to visit. Because if I visit a prisoner, I'm visiting Jesus. Jesus said, in as much as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. So I went to the prison and I did a course. I remember when I was sitting down in the room, small room, myself alone with the inmate. And I was, initially I was afraid until I started doing, I was afraid. But I saw a red button and they said, hit it in case of emergency. It's written boldly. So I always knew that in times of trouble, I knew I was sitting in a position where I just, I don't need to get up. I just hit it. Hallelujah. Yeah. So I was ready for that. So that was an emergency, and I knew that I'll use it when I needed it.
That's right.
Many people see God in that way. Okay. They only use him in an emergency. When there's a critical emergency, then they hit the button, 911. But from today, may we see God not as an emergency button, but someone who we pray to in good times. I intentionally want to pray to God in good times so that God will know that, wow, this guy, even when things are okay, he's even praying even more. This shows that I must maintain the good times. Oh, glory. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And some people, when times are good, they pray. When times are bad, then they don't pray anymore. May that not be your story and my story. May we pray both in good times and in bad times.
Amen.
Number 7, every nation needs lots of prayer and prayerful leaders. Amen. Every nation. Ezekiel 28, we are going to read a long verse. In Ezekiel chapter 28, from verse 1 to 19. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man, and not God. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. So this is a man who is very successful, a king. Very, very successful king who is behaving as if he's God. Because of how successful he is, because of the riches in the land, because of the success, so many, many, many riches. Prominence. So because of that, his heart is lifted up. Verse 3. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches. And thou hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. But by thy great wisdom and by thy traffic, hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers unto thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. So God is talking about a human king who was very successful, rich, made the nation rich, was top of the tops. And because of that, he said to himself that it is my own power that got me my riches. It is my own power that made me successful. It is my own hard work. And because of that, God said that I'm going to punish you. Let's continue. They shall bring thee down to the pit. And thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, For I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. So this person will die. Continue. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Remember, the first one was the prince of Tyrus, a human king. Now, this is the king of Tyrus. How many are getting me so far?
That's right.
And say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum. Meaning that you were perfection. Hallelujah. You were the best of everything created. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now this king, human king, could not have been in the garden of God, Eden. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, even the jasper stone, the throne of God, you see jasper stone. So many of the things that covered, the precious jewels that covered the throne of God, are in this creature we are about to read about. The beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the cucumber, even this carbuncle is also part of it, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was created in thee in the day that thou was created. Meaning that the musical instruments, the pipes, the beautiful jewels were created in this creature. In the day he was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Now we are not going to continue reading on, but now the anointed cherub that covereth means it's an angel. So there's a human prince of Tyrus who was lifting himself up because of his success. And then we have the anointed cherub Lucifer. It's in Ezekiel and Isaiah. We'll read about that another time. But then we have the king of the same place who is a cherub, the anointed cherub that covereth. How many remember the mercy seat in the Ark of the Covenant? There's a mercy seat and there's the anointed cherub that covereth, that protects the presence. And this was this anointed cherub. Hallelujah. Okay, let's read it. It's going to verse 18. And I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Are you getting me so far?
Yeah.
Who is not getting me? Okay. Next. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. So because of his pride, he was filled with violence. And thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. There is a lot to say about this by another time. Now, the prince of Tyre was a human king like Saddam Hussein or any of the kings of the earth or the presidents. He was the human king that made the country successful, but he was very proud. Then God is, right in the same chapter, God is talking about a king of Tyre who was an angelic being. What does it mean? There are principalities on the earth that govern nations,
right. That
govern areas.
Right.
So the human king is a puppet.
That's right.
I don't know whether I'm saying something.
Right.
So most of the time, the human king and the human leaders are usually controlled by the spiritual beings.
That's right.
Did you get that?
That's right.
Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Look at NLT, and then we'll tie this up. Are you getting me so far?
Yes.
God was talking about a human king that he was going to punish because of his pride.
Right after that, God brought in the angelic king of the same country, Tyre. Why? Because the real leader of that country was not the human king, but was the spiritual king. Hallelujah. Amen. Was the angel, or the demonic spirit, was Lucifer. Did you get me? Now, I want to know whether you got me, so I know whether to repeat. Okay. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Once you were dead, doomed forever because of your many sins. You used to live just like the rest of the world, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. So that same king of Tyre is the spirit that is at work in the human kings, or even your boss, or the leader who is dealing with your case. And that's why the Bible says that it is the spirit that is at work in the people who choose to disobey God.
That's right.
Who refuse to obey God. So you and I, when you are getting frustrated at work with your boss, or you can tell that your boss doesn't like you, or you can tell that your boss is about to take you out of the scene, or you are dealing with a leader, whether it's your lecturer, your university professor who doesn't like you, and because of that, they are marking you down. It happens. What you need to do is not to fight the person. Oh, you need to stand your ground, but you need to pray so that the demonic spirit, that spirit that is affecting that leader will change. And you bind the spirit that is affecting the leader, affecting your case, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So from now on, pray for your leaders. Pray for those who are in authority. Because when you pray for them, you are praying and negating all the plans the devil has at work in their lives.
Amen.
Against you.
Hallelujah.
We are all dazed, so I'm not sure that you are getting it. Because when you are getting it, you say amen.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
It's very important. So it means that from now on, let's pray for our leaders.
Amen.
Amen. From now on, pray for those in authority. From now on, pray for the president. From now on, pray for the leaders of the nation.
Amen.
From now on, let's pray for our boss, our lecturers. Take your boss in prayer. I remember there was a time I was working in a certain company. I can't mention the company now, but very long ago. And I was my boss was talking about my promotion when I first came to the United States long ago. My boss was talking about my promotion for the next review. At that time, we had not started a church in Connecticut. Oh, I've given it away. It's okay. I had not started a church. Hallelujah, in Connecticut. As soon as we started the church, everything changed at work. Everything changed at work. And right after that, I was at Target. They wanted me out. It was a switch immediate. They wanted me out of the job. They started to plot to get me out.
Wow.
Yeah. So I had to pray, and my mother had already given me advice about keeping records of all the excellent work, Dave. Excellent work. I had all the records. I saved them. Excellent work, Dave. Oh, this job project, excellent work. So why is it now that the same project you say is not excellent when I've started? Because there was a spiritual being behind the scenes that was trying to frustrate me from doing the work of God. That was trying to frustrate me. But when you fight it and you prevail, after that, you are coasting throughout. Ever since then, by the grace of God, I've never had that problem again. But usually you have to fight that principality through prayer. Amen.
Amen.
So let's have that in mind. Very, very important. Every nation needs lots of prayer and prayerful leaders. The world is ruled by wicked spirits in high places. Ephesians 6:12. I think we can open the windows going forward. It's too late now. Maybe that might help people. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, what does this mean? This means that our struggle, our warfare is not against human beings. It's not against the king. It is not against the boss. It is not against the teacher. It is not against the person who is ruling or who is deciding on your case. But the people we are fighting with are evil entities, wicked spirits in heavenly places.
That's right.
Look at it in NLT.
Preach.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. That's why I was saying that the real king, the real ruler of Tyre, was not the human king. The human king was just the figurehead, but the real ruler was the spiritual entity.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
So I want to encourage you now, this will give you victory. Anytime you get a job, anytime you are in school, you see that there's a particular lecturer or a professor or anyone who is in a leadership position. If you take their names and pray for them, what are you praying? You're not praying that they should be in trouble. Pray that God will satisfy them. Pray that God will cause them to have favor with you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Mention their names and pray specifically that God, I pray for this person, make everything work out for this person, make this person succeed in life,
Amen.
Make this person turn to you, and Father God, give me favor with my boss. Give me favor with my leader. Give me favor. Let them turn to you. We pray for President Trump. Pray for your leaders. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Pray that God will bless President Trump,
Amen.
That God will turn his heart, because at the end of the day, he's now the leader. And because he's the leader, so far as the person is the leader, it is our responsibility before God. Jesus said, render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's.
Hallelujah.
So now it's our duty to pray for the leader, even if they are passing laws that are fighting against us. That's what happened in Rome. It happened in Rome. In Rome, the Caesars were fighting against the church. But it is the same church that said, pray for those in authority. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What do you think?
Wonderful.
Yeah. Now let me give you one more verse. What do you think?
It's wonderful.
Now let's turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 to 4. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. What do you think? So it means that the more we pray for our leaders, the more quiet, peaceable, and godly and honest lives we will lead. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior.
Amen.
And it continues. What do you think? Yeah?
That's right.
So pray for our presidents. Even the president, if you are someone from Czech Republic, pray for your president there. Someone from Paris, pray for your president there. Someone from Nigeria, pray for your president there.
Right.
Someone from Ghana, pray for your president there. Don't say that they are drinking the blood of the nations only. Even if you say that, it's not wrong sometimes, depending on who the leader is, but pray for them. Hallelujah. Pray for them. What do you think? And it will make things better so that they'll pass laws in our favor. Do you know that it is God who puts President Trump there? Why? Because there's no authority that is ordained of God. That is not ordained of God. Every authority is ordained of God.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
There's no one who can be a president who, Romans 13:1,
or a leader who God has not allowed. Let every soul, if I'll use NLT here, I know we are out of time.
Preach.
Obey the government, for God is the one who put it there. But remember that it was the government that was chasing them to kill them. It was the government. Nero. How many heard of Nero? Nero hated the Jewish people so much that he intentionally set a fire. He caused the fire and blamed it on the Jews so that the Romans would hate them. And they persecuted the Jewish people. Many of the Caesars, Marcus Aurelius. How many have seen the movie Gladiator? He was one of the fiercest opposers of the Jewish people. He said, the Colosseums were set. True story, where lions will come. They'll have lions ready. They'll see the lions eat someone up. And then they'll ask the Christians, deny Christ, and we will let you go. We'll give you status. Just deny him. And they say, don't deny Christ. And then they'll release the lions and they'll be eating. The next group. Did you see how your people were eating? Deny Christ. And it was sports. It was entertainment for the Romans. The Colosseums. And yet, obey the government. For God is the one who put them there. It doesn't mean God caused them to do those things, but God allowed it. Because it was through the Roman Caesar Constantine, eventually, the same Roman government that made Christianity established the Roman Empire. Hallelujah.
Right.
And established the King James Version.
Right.
How many are getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or at least King James. Yeah, all that was connected to the Bible. Hallelujah. Obey the government, for God is the one who put it there. All governments have been placed in power by God. Verse 2. So those who refuse to obey the laws of the land are refusing to obey God. And it goes on. What do you think? So, Father God, we pray that President Trump will have good health, long life. Long live the king.
Amen.
Yeah, wisdom. God, long live the king. God save the king. Bless President Trump. Bless him. Make him successful. Let him know you more. Let him love you more. Give him good health. Let him live long. And pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Because that's what the Bible says. Hallelujah. What do you think? So pray for every leader. And God will bless you. Amen. We'll continue, God willing. Shall we stand to our feet?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, we give you praise, oh God. Let's just speak to the Lord. Ask him to grant us favor. Grant us peace. To bless the works of our hands. To cause us to be people of prayer, who pray in good times and in bad times, who pray at all times, who pray for those in authority, who pray for our leaders, who pray for our boss, who pray for our professors, pray for all in authority. Father God, give us grace to make prayer a habit, habitual prayer, because we know that for prayer to be effective, it must be a habit, habitual, oh God. In the name of Jesus, just speak to him. Ask him to give you his grace, his grace, his grace, his grace. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in
His presence daily. I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender. Don't know Jesus and you are not born again and you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be born again. I want to be washed as white as snow. If I die today, I want to make sure that I go to heaven. If you are here like that, repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe
that he died on the cross,
for my sins.
I believe that God raised him from the dead.
Lord Jesus,
come into my heart.
Come into my life.
Forgive me
for all my sins.
Cleanse me from
all unrighteousness.
From today,
I belong to Jesus Christ.
From today, I will determine
to be a person of prayer.
From today,
I will purpose in my heart
to make prayer a habit.
A daily habit.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
While standing, it's time for us to partake of the communion. The Bible says that we were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Is it next week? Is there any communion there? Sorry, oh, it's next week. Yeah. Okay. Father God, we bless and honor you. And the Bible says we are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but the precious blood of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for your blood, the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for our sins. We thank you for the grace that each and every one of us will be totally committed to prayer to you. We are going to be people of prayer. We pray for the grace to be prayerful. We will pray every day and we would fulfill your will for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may take your seats. Welcome, Pastor Ella.
Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah.